Morning. Let's turn to Matthew. Same passage as Tuesday, Matthew 5, 1 through 12. But I'm going to be reading to you from the Message. But you can follow along in your own Bible. Matthew 5, 1 through 12. When Jesus saw his ministry drawing a huge crowd, he climbed a hillside. Those who were apprenticed to him, the committed, climbed with him. Arriving at a quiet place, he sat down and taught his climbing companions. This is what he said. You are blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule. You're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. You're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He is food and drink in the best meal you'll ever eat. You're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you find yourselves cared for. You're blessed when you get your inside world, your mind and heart, put right. Then you can see God in the outside world. You're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. You're blessed when your commitment to God provokes persecution. The persecution drives you even deeper into God's kingdom. Not only that, count yourselves blessed every time people put you down or throw you out or speak lies about you to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort and they are uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Give a cheer even. For though they don't like it, I do, and all heaven applauds. And know that you are in good company. My prophets and witnesses have always gotten into this kind of trouble. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this morning. We just pray for your presence, God, that you will come and speak to us. And we just come before you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. P-Sam started talking about the Beatitudes on Tuesday, and I just wanted to continue on with the same topic. And first of all, I just want us to remember in the Beatitudes, when Jesus says, blessed are those, blessed are you. In today's, in the Message version, it says, you're blessed. I want us to remember, you know, who is the one that's doing the blessing, right? It is God himself, right? God is the one that's blessing us. When it says, you are blessed, or blessed are you, blessed is a passive term. Someone else is doing the active work of blessing, and it is God that blesses us in these things. And on Sunday, you know, Dr. Kim, he came and he talked about, you know, true blessing, right? He said, what is true blessing? And he went on to show us that true blessing is not getting a title, right? True blessing is not getting recognition or the approval of man. And true blessing is not gaining wealth, but true blessing is actually having peace with ourselves, peace with others, and peace with God. And, you know, I'm sure we all heard it, and we all agree, you know? Yeah, true blessing is not those things, but it's really having peace with ourselves, others, and God. But how many of us, you know, when we pray and ask God for a blessing, really, we're talking about wealth, and we're talking about a title, and we're talking about approval and recognition from men, right? I don't think we pray that so much for ourselves. We don't pray, Lord, bless us. But when we pray for other people, when I pray for Tom, I say, Lord, bless Tom. What I mean is, Lord, help him be successful in what he is doing, and help him to make a lot of money, and help him to get promoted. And, you know, that's what I mean, you know, when I say, you know, make his life a little easier, a little more convenient, you know, a little more, I don't know, upscale, you know, promote him, basically. But when Jesus is telling us here, hey, you're blessed, He's not talking about these things. He's not talking about wealth. He's not talking about a title. It's actually quite the opposite, right? So I believe that it's true that God wants to bless us in this life, right? In John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, Jesus came that we may have abundant life in this world. And in Luke 18, 29 to 30, after Peter says to Jesus, Lord, we gave up everything to follow you, Jesus says to Peter, hey, in this life, you're going to have much more than what you gave up. So there is a blessing. And you look through the Old Testament, all the followers of God received amazing things from the Father, right? There was wealth and recognition, all those things that came. And I believe that, you know, that God wants to bless us in this life. And, you know, a lot of people seem to have a problem with prosperity gospel, but I think they have a point. You know, it's biblical that God wants to bless his children and he wants good things. He's a good father and he wants to bless his children. But the problem with prosperity gospel is that it's not a full picture. You know, they're focusing on one thing. And if you look throughout the Bible, there is this paradoxical idea that basically suffering and hardship equals blessing. You know, that it leads to blessing. Somehow, in this world, when we suffer and when we're in a difficult time, that's when God comes. And that's when we truly experience a blessing from God. So there's a song by this singer called Misty Edwards. And she has this line I thought was interesting. She said, it's an inside, outside, upside down kingdom where you lose to gain and you die to live. And you look throughout Jesus' teachings, there's a lot of this opposite land kind of stuff. Like someone in our house church on Tuesday, that's how he termed it, opposite land. Jesus lives in opposite land. Basically, you know, I came to give you abundant life, but if you seek to live, you're going to die, you know? And if you want to be number one, you got to be last kind of thing, you know? And that's what he kind of does in this passage. He says, you're blessed when these things happen. And that's totally the opposite of what we would think normally a blessing is, right? So we're just going to go through briefly each one, right? It says, and I like the Message version. It's a little clearer, I thought, more understandable. When you're blessed, Jesus says, you're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule. See, when we think of blessing, we think, yeah, if God blesses us, then we're going to know what we're doing. We're going to be successful, and we're going to achieve everything that we want to achieve. But here, Jesus says, no, you're blessed when you're actually at the end of your rope. When you don't know what you're doing, and you're stuck, and you're poor in spirit, that's when true blessing comes, because that's when you really experience God, right? And you experience God coming through for you. You know, you're blessed when you feel you've lost what is most dear to you. That's completely opposite of what we would think a blessing is, you know? But that what Jesus says, that's when God's going to comfort you. That's when you're going to experience the comfort of God, and that is true blessing for you. You're blessed when you're content with just who you are. In the NASB, right, it says when you're gentle or when you're meek. You know, and obviously, when we are in this kingdom, in this world, we think, no, you're blessed if you are competitive, you know, and you work hard and you work yourself to get to a promotion, you know, you're proactive and not meek, basically, you know, just, I can't think of the word, aggressive, there you go. If you're aggressive, that's when you're going to reach a place in life. But Jesus says, no, you're blessed when you're content with who you are, because that's when you will get, inherit the earth. I believe that means earthly blessing, your prosperity and all that stuff. And Jesus says, no, that's when you're going to receive it. But the Message says it nice, right? He says, that's the moment when you find yourself proud owners of everything that can't be bought. You know, you can work yourself to the, like a dog and get all the money or whatnot, but you're not going to get the thing that you can't buy with money. Verse 6, you're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. See, I like this one because it's totally the opposite. When we pray for blessing, when we say, God, bless them, We mean satisfy them. We mean, hey, bless them. God, satisfy their hunger. Satisfy, you know, whatever it is they're lacking, satisfy them. But Jesus says, no, you're blessed when you're actually hungry and thirsting, because that's what's going to drive us to draw closer to God. And that's when God's going to come even more. You know, because really, if we're sitting here in this room today and we're totally satisfied with what we have of God, that's sad, you know, because God has so much more. And really, we're not at a place where we should be so satisfied and complacent, you know? And Jesus says, you know, it's a blessing when you're hungry. It's a blessing when you're thirsty for God, because that's what's going to drive us to draw closer to Him. And He's the best meal that we'll ever get. Verse 7, you're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, He is a pun, careful, you find yourself cared for. He's saying, when you're full of care, you know, and usually we think, you know, blessing, like we want to receive care from people. We want to receive people's mercy. But Jesus says, no, you give mercy, you give your care, and then you're going to find yourself that you're cared for. And then verse 8, you're blessed when you get in your inside world, your mind and heart put right. This in the NASB is when you're pure in heart. Blessed are those who are pure in heart. And I think it's an opposite, because usually when we, like in this kingdom, when we talk about purity, we don't equate purity to joy, you know? When we think of purity, we're always like, oh, okay, we got to give up this fun thing and give up this fun thing so that we can be pure. But there's a verse in Psalm 45, verse 7. It's talking about Jesus, and it says, you loved righteousness, but you hated wickedness, and therefore God anointed you with the oil of joy above your fellows, you know? You loved righteousness and you hated wickedness. Therefore, God gave you joy. But, I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, many of us probably think the wicked things are what's fun. And we get, like, it's a sacrifice. You know, whatever it may be, partying or sex or drinking, whatever it could be. We're like, oh, the wicked things. Secretly, we're like, oh, that's what's really fun. But we know we have to lay these things down. But Jesus is saying, no. If you truly have purity in your heart and you get to that place where you can love righteousness and hate wickedness, that's where you're going to find joy, true joy. And because, I mean, why? Because we get to see God. You know, we get to see God when we have purity in heart. And then verse 9, show people how to cooperate. Peacemakers. Again, we would think someone, you know, I like this one. It says, you're blessed when you can show people how to cooperate instead of computer fight. That's when you discover who you really are and your place in God's family. We're always fighting to find our place in society. We're always fighting. We're striving to find that place in society. But Jesus says, no, when you can cooperate and help people cooperate, that's when you find yourself in God's family, and you find your, and that's kind of what Dr. Kim was talking about. You find peace with yourself and peace with others because you know who you are in God's family. And obviously persecution. I mean, when we pray for persecuted Christians, and part of what we're praying for is that, yeah, stop the persecution. But then Jesus says, well, when you're persecuted, that's when you're blessed, because there's a heavenly kingdom that's going to reward them in an amazing way. You won't even understand, you know? So, opposite land. And really, I think we need to spend some time in the Beatitudes and really think about, hey, what is it that we're really seeking for? You know, we pray for blessing. We know that God's going to bless us. So He's a good Father. But I think we need to maybe redefine and rethink, hey, what is true blessing? You know, is it really just getting what we want? And I don't think so, you know? And I'm not here promoting suffering. I'm not saying, hey, we got to suffer. God's going to make us miserable because that's true blessing. But I think we need to rethink our definition of blessing. And I think what Jesus is trying to say here is that, no, God, like ultimately, God is our joy. God is our blessing. You know, He says, you're blessed when these things happen to you because God's going to come. And that's God's heart, right? We normally in this world, we would look at a person that is successful, that is rich, you know, that is just good at what he's doing and say, oh, that person is blessed. But Jesus says, no, no, no. Actually, this person that is suffering, that is lowly, that is meek and humble, that person is blessed. Because you know what? That person is going to meet God. And I think it's just a sad state that we're in because of this fallen world. You know, I mean, you look at Adam, he was blessed, he was successful, you know, good at all these things. I think that's God's original plan, that we would be good at what we're doing and receive God's blessing. That's what we want to work towards. Because of our fallen nature, when we have all the earthly things, you know, money and success and all this prosperity, fame, popularity, it's so easy for us to take our eyes off of God. And Jesus is saying, no, God is your true blessing. God is your true joy. And if you don't get that, you know, Jesus says, if a man gains the whole world but loses his soul, what profit is that to that guy? You know, if we gain all these worldly things but we miss out on God, what profit is that? So next time you pray for a blessing for someone, think about these things. What are you praying for that person? Lord, bless Tom. I mean, you know, Jesus is saying, blessing is when he's suffering and hungry, you know, and meek and all that stuff. So, yeah. What I wanted to end with was a call to faith. You know, that we know that God is good, right? We need to hold on to this faith, that this truth that God is a good Father, and he's not going to give us more than we can handle. But suffering is a way to glory, right? We know that. We've learned that at church, that it's through suffering we get to the place of glory. And if we can just believe and have peace in our heart that God knows what he is doing, even when we're going through a seemingly difficult time, a hardship, a not-so-blessed time, God knows what he's doing, and he is leading us to himself, you know, in this time. So yeah, let's meditate on that, and Hannah is going to come and lead us in a time of worship.
Called me your own. There's no place.
spend a bit of time praying for our church. Let's pray for those that are going through a hard time. You know, I can think of a few people that are really at the end of their ropes, you know, and they've lost something that's precious to them. But let's pray that they will be able to believe and have faith that everything that's happened, that God is with them throughout it all, and that it's happened to them. You know, everything that's happened to them, it's happened because God loves them. You know, that God still loves them through this, and God is behind them and with them, and He's blessing them through this. Just that they won't lose heart, you know. So let's pray for our church, and pray specifically for those that are, that you know, are going through a tough time right now. Let's pray for the house churches. It's meeting today. It's Kennedy Road, Conduit, and Pacific Place. Let's pray it's their last house church of the season. So let's pray that it'll be a really good time of fellowship and ministry. So let's pray for the house churches. Let's pray for Minhee. She's Eunsang and Ji-yeon's daughter. That's Ji-ye's brother-in-law. I mean, brothers. Ji-ye's brother's daughter, and she is still in the ICU. She was born a few days ago, but because of the long labor, she took in some of the fluid, and so she's in the ICU. But they said it's not that serious or anything, but they're just keeping in there to check up on her and stuff. So let's pray that she'll get released very soon. I pray for Eunsang and Ji-yeon that they'll be able to trust God in this time, and just for God's peace over them, over this family in this time. So let's pray for them. Let's pray for our mission focus. Let's pray for Japan. Let's pray for Kenny Yeh. And let's also pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for Pastor Bob Oh and New Life Church in Phnom Penh. And also the orphanage, Center of Peace, Bhopal. She's a leader there. So let's pray for the two countries. Let's pray for God's blessing over them and His presence, and for God to move in these two countries. Let's pray together. Lastly, let's pray for our building search. You know, let's continue to pray for the Vine, you know, that we'll be able to get that place in the beginning of next year. And also, just that God will continue to lead us, lead the steering committee, and lead the church, so that we can all be in unity, be of one heart, and be all behind this vision. So let's pray together for our church and for the building search. Father God, thank you for this time. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your words. And Lord, I pray for understanding in our hearts, God, you know, about these things. But I want to thank you, Lord, that you love us, God. That whatever you do because you love us, Lord. And you have good things in store for us, Lord. So we want to trust in you. And we want to just follow you. And we want to not strive on our own, but we want to trust you and walk with you. So help us, God, today. I just pray for your presence to go with all the people that are here today, God. For you, may your favor be upon them, Lord. And lead them and guide them, bless them, Lord. Strengthen them today. And we thank you for today, God. We want to live to worship you and to glorify you. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great day today.